Bob Santiago will be speaking. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline.
Good morning. I'll put the water on the floor. That way, there's a lot less chance of me knocking it over. Well, today is a first in a lot of ways. It's the first time this year that I've preached. I know it's probably been well over a year since I've been in the pulpit. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you for missing me, I guess. I really was kind of challenged when Doug called me and asked if I would get back in the pulpit, essentially, that he would ask me to participate in this series. And I really have the privilege of introducing you to a great portion of Scripture, the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is probably one of the most practical aspects of the Word of God that we can apply ourselves to. It is very practical, it is very instructional, and it's really convenient, too. If you'll notice, you can read Proverbs in 1 month if you read one chapter a day. So as far as devotionally, if you want to challenge yourself, I would challenge you to do that, to read one chapter starting with today, go through the rest of this month. Today is July 2nd. Go through the rest of this month reading one chapter of the book of Proverbs. It would also keep you on schedule with what our preaching series is going to be for the summer, and that is in the book of Proverbs. This morning, I'm going to be introducing the whole book of Proverbs, but really the first few chapters that really introduces us to the practicality of it. See, God wants us to live a life that is different. God wants us to live a life that is faithful to Him. So it's not just a matter that God provided salvation for us. Thank you, Lord, that He provided salvation. Thank you that He is a God of salvation. But He also is a God who wants to be Lord of our lives, and He wants to give us instruction and how we are to conduct our lives and live our lives. Something that we've really gotten away from as far as society. Society is not really attendant to people living in a certain way. Society is not really attendant to people living in a moral way. Society has really become a society in which we address ourselves and become selfish individuals, and we need to live as individually. Believe me when I say that I never intended to put myself out of the pulpit or take myself over just to be the sitter in the pew. But I did share with you at least once before, but that's my natural inclination, to want to sit there and listen and not to be the one that is up here speaking. The book of Proverbs is a book that tells us that we need to live our lives as Christians. And as living our lives as Christians, we cannot be silent. And living our lives as Christians, we must take action. Though poetic and philosophical, which is right up my alley, it is ultimately a manual of practical and moral living. It is very direct. It is very didactic. It is meant as somewhat of an instructional manual for us. It is not all that theological if you read the book of Proverbs. It's not all that theological. It's not as deep as many of the New Testament books. However, it is very practical and it is very direct. The reason that it is very practical and direct is the author's intent. The author of the book of Proverbs was Solomon. Now, Solomon was one of the kings of Israel, but he was known for his wisdom. He was known as being Israel's wisest king. And one of the reasons that he is doing this is that he wrote this book was to pass on the wisdom that he has received from the Lord. And wisdom was, in fact, something that he received from the Lord. He asked for it at the beginning of his kingship, of his reign. He appeared to the Lord at Gibeon And he said at the end, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and said, ask what you wish me to give you. You see, as a young man, a very young man, taking on the reins of rulership, he didn't know. He really kind of felt that he was below the job. He did not know how to be king. And he didn't think that he was able to be king. The Lord responded and said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father. And then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne. And it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, and you have chosen a great people who are too many to be numbered and counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours. He shows humility not expected of a king. He doesn't take the reignship. He doesn't take on the kingdom and think, oh, I'm in command. I will do everything. He shows humility and he says, what God do you expect of me as king? How can I be a just king? How can I be a righteous king? How can I be a king who judges his people well? And God's answer to him was, it is pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon has asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor there shall be one like you who arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. God went beyond his prayer. His prayer was that he would be a wise judge. It was a humble prayer. It was a prayer that he concerning his character, that he would be a good king, that he'd be a wise judge, that he would lead his people well. He was not praying for more power. He was not praying for more money. He was not praying for the death of his enemies. He was praying that he would be a good and righteous king. And the Lord answered that prayer. The testimony of first in the Old Testament of King Solomon is that he was indeed the wisest of the wise kings. And if you look at the book of 1 Kings, you will see Solomon's not only reign, but his ministry to his people as judge. So God blessed Solomon's life and rule and granted Solomon the request for wisdom. This is what Proverbs is all about. One of the wise things that Solomon did was that he set up a school for young people. He was concerned that his princes, his heirs, and the people in his reign would be able to pass on the wisdom that he has gained and the wisdom that he would want them to know. He would also want them to know that they need to serve God and that the wisest of wise will be those who want to serve God. The passing on of godly wisdom is what the declared purpose of the book of Proverbs is. And so the book of Proverbs tends to be kind of a textbook. If you look at it the way it's reading, it's kind of a textbook in a manual of sort of how we need to conduct our lives. How a young person, and it's often addressed to as a too young person, he's referred to my son, and it's very didactic and instructional. Look at the words of Scripture from chapter 1 again, the words that Jesse read for us earlier. Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. The reason I'm writing for you is that you would know wisdom and instruction. To discern the sayings of the understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. Proverbs 2 continues and says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voices for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." In Gibeon, at any one particular point in your life, you have to make decisions. The decisions you make reflect your relationship with God. Everyone at certain points in their life has a critical point where they start asking themselves, what is the reason for my living? What am I supposed to do? What do I want out of life? How am I going to live my life? What do I want to do with life? What kind of person do I want to be? Where am I going and how do I get there? I distinctly remember a point in my life when I started asking these questions. And unfortunately for me, it was pretty late in my life. Actually, it was in my first year of college. I had attended in the past a very sound Bible church, a Baptist church. And I had gotten away from it in my teenage years, but it was we were raised in a Baptist church. And from the looks of it, it was a very sound one. It grew very, very much. It grew into the thousands. It grew into a big mega church. And the gospel was being preached there. But I had missed my point. I'd missed the point that God was a God of salvation. I'd missed the point that God is real, that there is a real God. It's kind of the God that I believed in at that time was somewhere out there. And he expected things. He expected certain behaviors of me. But I did not know him in a personal way. I did not know him in a real way. And so when I went off to college, and I have to admit that the reason for my going off to college was to get away from home. You know, and to get to experience something different. So I went off to college. I went to a major university, a university that had over 25,000 students. So it was very easy to get lost in there. And you have to remember that this was 1973. 1973 was 3 or 4 years past Woodstock. And with the whole idea of, drugs and free sex and the hippie lifestyle. Many of you probably don't know what hippie is. But in 1973, that was very much the prominent thing that was going on in college. And so I find myself in this major university, and a lot of kids are experimenting specifically at that time, the weed pot. And there was a lot of drinking going on, and there was a lot of things that I had to challenge myself with. Which way am I going to go? What direction am I going to go? So, in actuality, I had a roommate. I was assigned a roommate that was dealing. So, I had a lot of challenges in that year. But I was lucky. I was lucky that God got me through that full year. Toward the end of that first year of school, I realized that I was lost. I really did. I had this awareness that I was lost. I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know if I wanted to come back for the second year of school. I still hadn't decided on a major. I still hadn't found my niche or whatever in life. And so I had an interesting thing happen to me. I was sitting under a tree outside a dorm, one of the few trees on campus. It was a mega campus. And I was reading, and I got approached by this young man who came up to me. Now, I didn't know this young man, but I knew of him. I had seen him in the dormitory. He lived on another floor in my dormitory. And what I knew of him was I was kind of thrown back that he was even approaching me. I remember having that, what's he want with me thing. He was he was very tall and handsome, very much like Tom Brady. He was a senior. This is all I knew about him. He was a senior. He was pre-med in the year, or even medded to medical school. I also knew that he drove one of the nicest convertible cars outside in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, I haven't really met this guy. I'm thinking, what does he want with me? He came up to me and he shook my hand and he sat down next to me and he said, I want to talk to you a minute. You mind if I talk to you a minute? Well, he shared the gospel with me. He shared the bridge analogy about my being lost means I am separated from God, and that I needed reconciliation with God, and that I could cross the bridge. With the bridge analogy says that Jesus Christ is the bridge between man and God, who we were separated from. It made sense to me. I knew that there was a God out there. I just didn't know God. I didn't know who he was. So he led me through the prayer of salvation, and my life was completely changed. My life became one with direction. I still didn't know what major I wanted to do. I didn't know if I wanted to come back to school. I still didn't know any of that. But something clicked there. The Holy Spirit came in and gave me revelation, gave me light, gave me the truth that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is, in fact, salvation. And Jesus Christ is, in fact, the bridge to the Holy Father, the Heavenly Father. And so I came to know the Lord, and I received direction. And I can tell you the truth. This was such a radical change for me. Such a radical change to know that there is a God, because I had really, really been lost. I really been lost. Can I just reveal a secret to you? I don't think I've ever told anybody this. Before I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I used to think I was an alien. I did. I used to think that somehow these people or these other things, beings, brought me to earth, put me in this position, put me in that family, and that my family would make a report at the end of every day of how I'm doing. And that someday they were going to come and all of this, it was really kind of a fear that all of this would come to an end because none of it's true. You know? It was a little wacko, but it shows you where, you know, young mind, but lost. It kind of reflects the fact that I really did not feel like I fit into this world, that I was otherworldly, and that I didn't have a place in this world. And one of the things that God has, that Jesus Christ did at my salvation, was give me purpose to my life, give me reason to my life. You see, I didn't know God who was giving me much more than salvation. God was giving me direction. God was giving me purpose. God was giving me wisdom. You see, knowledge that I was going to get from the textbooks and from this college and from the university, that was just knowledge. It was not wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. You see, knowledge would be, wisdom is what the book of Proverbs is all about. It is not trying to give us just knowledge. It is going beyond that. Wisdom is what you do with knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge well. Wisdom is one of the great tools of life that enables you to live life well. A textbook definition of wisdom, the subject of Proverbs, from the Cambridge University, is the ability to make good judgments based on what you have learned from your experience or your knowledge and understanding that gives you this ability. Webster's defines it by parsing it out into sections. Wisdom is accumulated philosophical and scientific learning, knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, insight. Wisdom is good sense, judgment. Wisdom is generally accepted belief. So we have knowledge, insight, judgment, accepted belief. This is what they would define wisdom as. But wisdom is much more than that. Wisdom is the ability to take all that you have learned, all of your experience and everything about that, and put it into something called a greater good, a greater ability to use that knowledge, to understand that belief, and to put it together and live wisely. Live wisely. That's what the author of the book of Proverbs is really trying to cross over to. How do we live our lives wisely? According to our knowledge, according to our faith, according to everything that we know, we put it together and we come with something bigger called wisdom. And that's what God would impart to you. He's not just trying to impart knowledge. We can get knowledge from textbooks. We can get knowledge from classrooms. We can't get wisdom from classrooms. We can't get wisdom. That has to be something that we put together by God working in our lives, especially as Christians. The beginning of it all, we can see, is to know God. Know God. You see that in chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. That we need to not view... I'm sorry, I got lost here. Here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is something that we want to propose to you as a memory verse in the next month. Okay? We're going to present to you with memory verses, four or five of them that come out of the book of Proverbs. The very first one that we want to present to you is this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. You see, before I came to know the Lord, I was just going through the textbooks. I was just putting things together to pass tests. Wisdom came when I first came to know the Lord. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The first and foremost thing that we must do to live a wise life, to live wisely, is that we need to recognize who God is in our lives. We need to realize that God is in truth. There is a God. We need to recognize that first. And that the God that presents himself to us, and we don't try to make him up, but he presents himself through the word of God, is a God of salvation. God is love, and God is his love compels him to bring us back into fellowship with him because of his love for us. To fear God is to recognize that he is God and that he loves his creation. He is the creator of all things, and he loves his creation, and he wants his creation to be restored to him, especially humanity, especially men. Man, who was made in God's image, was made to be in fellowship with God. And we are separated from him because of sin, of what happened. His design, his plan, was for us to be in fellowship with him all along. It is our action through the sin of Adam and Eve, through humanity, because we are human, we are sinful. And because we are sinful, we are separated from God. And we can only be reconciled to God when we accept his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his way of salvation. It's not ours. This is what he has done to bridge the gap. This is what he has done to bring us to him. And it is only as we establish this relationship with him can we begin to really have wisdom, to really live our lives according to his great wisdom. We must start with the fear of the Lord. The greatest wisdom, the greatest part, the beginning of it all, is the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is a term, a phrase that is used throughout scriptures, and we often have to look at what does that mean? What is the fear of the Lord? The awing of God, the acknowledgement of who he is, that he is a great and wonderful and a mighty God, and he is creator of all things. And that he is the creator of us. He is the foundation of everything. And we must start with the acknowledgement. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Before that, we're all dumb. We're dumb. We cannot have the wisdom of God if we do not know him, if we do not have him in our lives. It is only as we have started at the beginning to acknowledge him as God and Father of all things that we can now seek him for wisdom. Only then can we seek his wisdom. The wisdom. The first and foremost thing that Solomon would tell his young people, my sons, is to fear the Lord. You need to know God. You need to have that reconciled. You need to recognize him. And that's where you start. According to one of my resources, the term fear the Lord appears 49 times in the Bible and is used in another form or another at least 104 times in both the New and the Old Testaments. I also noted that by contrast, the fear of the Lord is always contrasted with the wisdom of man, or a man being wise in his own eyes. The first and foremost wisdom, being wise, is that to acknowledge God, to know him and recognize that wisdom comes from him. It is clear the Bible speaks much about wisdom and true wisdom that comes from God. In the New Testament, James repeated this very thing. James 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter these various trials. You know, life comes with trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, we go through life and we have trials and tribulations, we have deaths, we have things that happen to us, and we're just like, why? Why? Why, Lord? Why does this happen? The Lord doesn't take pain from our lives, but the Lord enables us to deal with us. And we need to search him out for everything. Why, Lord? We need to believe that God is a good God and that there is a good in everything. And so we need to approach God and ask him for wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior and his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Reading from James chapter 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant or so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. When anything comes our way, we need to ask ourselves, where is the goodness of God? Because when we see the goodness, when we're able to look at the goodness of God in it, even in the most painful circumstances, we will find that there is peace, that there is gentleness, that there is mercy, and there is good fruits. There would be wavering. There would be unwavering and without hypocrisy. And in this seed, in those seeds, there is the fruit of righteousness, which is shown in peace. You know, one of the things that we're always looking for, boy, I want peace. I know that's what I'm looking for. I just want some peace and quiet. Or just peace. You know, I don't want strife in my life. I don't want drama in my life. I want to live life peaceably and in comfort. I don't want to be with warring. I don't want to be arguing with people. You know, those are not any of the things that God wants for us. God wants us to live a life of peace. And I think one of the things that has challenged me was in asking what my life was about, what do I really want out of life? The things that I wanted out of life were really simple. I wanted a peaceable life. I wanted a good wife and a good home. I wanted a job that would enable me to live comfortably, but not necessarily be rich. And I now can say, you know, I'm 61 years old. Fine, I got to start looking at the other end. I'm not a young man they're talking to. I'm the old man. And when I can remember, these are things that I prayed for in my 30s. What do I want out of life? And I could say, this is what God... I live a simple life, folks. I go to work. You know, I come home. I come home to my wife. And there's nothing spectacular happened to me. But you know something? It's a peaceable life. It's the life that I asked for. And it's the life that God has designed for me. You know, when I'm up here like this, and I'm thinking, well, am I telling you guys too much about my life? I, what I guess what I'm really trying to say is that God really, in his wisdom, avails himself to us and gives us guidance in our lives and tells us what's important. We should be listening to him. The book of Proverbs is one of the is a tool that we can use to listen to God. How many people here have GPSs in one form or other in their car, on their laptop, or you know, on the cell phone? Now you get the cell phones. You know, the miracle of a GPS on a cell phone saved Bruce Hall and I from getting lost in Boston. It's just amazing what these can do. It's a great technology, GPS. It stands for Global Positioning System. It's the whole idea of using science to do something very practical for you, find your way. It tells you that the little instrument or whatever is telling you where you are in the world, and you tell it where you want to go, and it helps you get there. It's great science, uses satellites, it's big science, really, when you think about it. But it really is neat. You know, the book of Proverbs is intended to be a global positioning system. It is intended for us to find our way. It's kind of like a roadmap. And that's what we need to look at when we're looking at the book of Proverbs. It is very practical, as I said. It is very instructional. And it really does help us find the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the whole Word of God is God's GPS for us, how we can find our way in life and understanding who God is and what God's going to do in our life. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs explicitly declares itself as a book of direction. Think about where you're walking. Think about your direction, where you're going. Think about where your feet are taking you. We're going to see that as a repeated theme. Where does your feet take you? And where your feet take you, there you will go. So therefore, let your feet have a guidance system. The book of Proverbs and the Word of God as a whole is to be your guidance system. What does this mean for us? It means that in every step of our lives, in every decision for our lives, we need to allow the Word of God to have an impact on that decision. We therefore need to know the Word of God. We therefore need to turn to the Word of God for instruction. When you're asking yourself the question, should I go here? Should I take this job? Should I go to this school? Should I do this or do that? You need to really put that before the Lord and look for Him for direction, and He will help you understand these things. He's going to give you a specific answer and say, not this university over that university. But he's going to be able to, he's going to speak to you and tell you which is the right place for you. If you surrender yourself to him and ask for him, if you ask God for discernment, he will give it to you. He will enable you to measure, to discern, to really think about things and make the right decisions. This is what God wants for us when he imparts his wisdom to you. Listen to God for direction in your life. Don't let life just happen. You know, that's a big thing lately. You see that life happens. It's kind of a quesera, quesera, whatever. You know, whatever, life happens, and then we react to it. Don't let life just happen. Control your life and determine the direction of your life based on God's working in your life, based on God's plan for you and your life. Seek God out for a plan. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to go? And pray before him. God wants you to live life intentionally. He doesn't want you to live a haphazard life and life just happens and then you react to life. And sometimes you're disappointed with life. Following his leadership, following his direction, and following his control, the book of Proverbs is written for this very purpose, so that we can discern what God is doing in our lives. I have a suggestion for you. Try to live life intentionally. Try to live life intentionally. Don't let life just happen. First, living life intentionally means determined to know God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Savior, is the beginning. Now you have to figure out what your life will be like in Christ, what your life will be like surrendered to God. And so you will continue continue in God, determined to know God, determined and pray and continue to study the Word and try to and continue to ask for Him means that you are going to surrender your life to Him. It's the whole idea of lordship. God, are you Lord of my life? Then lead me through. Give me the wisdom to make the right decisions at every crossroads of your life. Determined to live a God-honoring life. Be known as a follower of Christ, not only by identification, but by behavior. Determined to represent God and hear Him. Determined to represent God well. Commit yourself to godly instruction. The whole purpose of Proverbs and the Word of God is instruction. The whole purpose is that we conduct our lives as if we know Him. If you say you're a Christian, then your behavior should be reflective of that. We are to continually seek Him in every way. He has a moral and social plan. He had a moral and social plan for Adam and Eve at His creation and at the world of humanity. He had a moral and social plan, how we should live together in peace and harmony, how we should live in relation to Him, right at the creation. And so it is ours to discover again what God wants us to do, to be one at peace with Him and two at peace with others, to love God and love others. It is a very important thing that we need to recognize that we need to continue to live our lives as Christ, as those who declare Christ. We need to discover what that is, and we need to continue. Hear my son, chapter 1, verse 8 says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but with your heart keep my commandments. Hear, chapter 4, verse 1, hear, O sons, the instruction of father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding. In the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs, we hear the word my son. In those five chapters, we hear it right at the very beginning. God is trying to tell you, to tell us that as His children, my sons, my children, pay attention to these things. Pay attention to the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. Give attention to my wisdom. And when we address Him, it really kind of points to the fact that we do have a relationship, a personal relationship with God, and it is very paternal, that He loves us as a father loves us, and He would impart to us the wisdom that a father would impart to his sons. God's loving and parental concern for us is that everything would go well with you, and that He is providing instruction on how you can live well. God wants you to know full well that you can experience happiness, that you can have your life rely completely on Him, but it is only as you are honoring Him in your life, and only as you are remembering Him in your life, and only as you are applying Him into your life. You do this by following His morality. You know, we need to think if we're going to live intentionally, we need to make certain decisions based on His guidance, His wisdom. And one of the things that we're going to learn later on is that when it comes to morality, specifically sexual morality, that God has certain standards, and we must learn those and apply those to our lives, and things will go well. And when we don't, things will not go well. Part of the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. Listen to the next section of Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 10. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, Let us lie down and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. We'll throw in your lot with us, and we shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in a way with them. Keep your feet from their path. If there's anything that's telling you about temptation and the invitation of temptation, the invitation to sin, the world is going to invite you to sin. The world is going to invite you to join them. Money, greed, theft, all of that, these have great reward for you. Look at us. We're doing really well. Join us. You know, that's what the invitation of the world is, to join us. And God says, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet, where your feet taking you, from their path. Don't go down that way. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. What a wonderful and practical warning, contrasting the world and the way of God. We live in a very selfish world. A world that is very self-centered, a world that is attended to, you know, our own material needs, our own, what do we want out of life? What is it in it for me? And that's not the world that God has for us. God would have us live in peace. God would have us live in love. Here we learn that sin is very socially enticing. We get this big invitation to join us in sin. And that's the contrast to what God wants for us and what Christ has called us to do. The wisdom of God is introduced to us in verse 20 of this same passage. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. To those who will seek God, God will reach out, and he will make himself known to you. Those to seek God is the opposite of living worldly. Here we see in this particular verse that wisdom is actually personified. Wisdom shouts. She lifts her voice. She cries. Wisdom is being analogous to given human characters. The idea of being personified. Wisdom speaks. It shouts. It declares. And most of all, it appears. It opposes the foolish. Wisdom cries out and says, don't be a fool. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And it's saying, don't be a fool. The book of Proverbs gives us practical life applications that we can make from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is godly wisdom imparted so that he can reveal himself to you and his design for you, his plan for you. And we are to live our lives intentionally according to him, according to what he has. We are not to live our lives with the idea of life just happens and we have to just go with it and we have to just experience it. Life can be lived intentionally because it is planned and designed by God. God does have a plan for you. God does have a life for you. And it is ours to seek out what he wants us to do. Some of it is really great things. Some of it is plain and simple. I mean, I never really thought that God wanted me to be anything special, and he wasn't going to make me governor or anything. That wasn't in his, you know, governor or president or something like that. I never thought that I was going to get rich or that I was going to do it. Even from early on, I could see that that was not God's plan for me. But I'm happy and content with where I am because I believe that I'm living God's plan for me. And I think that that's what one of the things that we need to do as Christians is realize that we are where God put us. You're here this morning listening to this message because God appointed this as the time for you to hear and this message. I'm here this morning up here because this is the appointed time for me to be here. We are doing things as Christians. We do things that God has appointed and as God is working us. And we need to look at the good of it. What am I learning? What am I doing here? The third point concerning the book of Proverbs that I would say, especially that applies to us, is the idea of diligence. Diligence is a matter of discipline. Diligence is a matter of wise discipline. It means you determine to seek God daily and continually. How often are we told to get into the Word daily, to have a devotional life, to have a prayer life, to bring it before the Lord? It has to do with diligence, because there's a lot of things that pull for our time. Diligence means God's becomes your default setting. Diligence means that God becomes your default setting. When we don't know what to do, we go to God. You know how the system, we get these things that where, you know, like you call OIT at Williams College, you're having a problem, you call OIT. OIT, the first thing they say is, did you reboot? It's that way everything goes back to the defaults. You know, so that's technically what we all do. God wants to be our default as Christians. First and foremost, He wants us to go to Him. Go to Him first, all right? And when we're lost, go back to Him. Diligence means God becomes our default. Diligence means godly wisdom is our go-to. And if we're going to have a go-to, we need to look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is direct instruction. Proverbs is very much like a manual. It often reads as a manual. What should we do? Diligence means that at every crossroad of our life and every decision that we need to make, we go to the book of Proverbs or we go to the wisdom of God and we approach Him in that way. I go back to James again. I think James did a lot of reading from the book of Proverbs. And he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We go before the Lord in prayer and we ask him. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show his good behavior and his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant or so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from down from above. We often realize that there is worldly wisdom. There is wisdom that does not come from above. And that often we get lost because we're paying attention to the world. We're paying attention to the wrong ideas. Wrong ideas that don't coincide with God's wisdom. Therefore, we need to contrast that and we need to know godly wisdom from the Word of God. We listen to people who are godly people and give us godly advice. We listen to the Word of God ourselves and we come before the Lord in prayer and we ask for wisdom. This is what James was telling you. If you don't know, ask God. Approach Him first and foremost. Determine to know God. Believe God has a plan for you. Determine to live a God-honoring life. Continue to seek Him in everything that you do in your direction. Daily seek God. Seek, pray, and meditate. If you're making a plan out for your next major decision, seek, pray, and meditate on what God would have you do there. Seek and recognize godly opportunities. Yeah. You know, it's something God provides a great opportunity, but make sure that you're bringing God before every decision. Seek and recognize godly opportunities. Determine that moral decisions are going to be according to God's direction. Predetermine all kinds of decisions concerning morality based on God's direction. Don't wait till you have to make that as an emotional response. Don't wait for that invitation to do something illegal or illicit or something like that. Make that moral decision ahead of time based on God's direction. Determine to keep God in your relationship. I can't emphasize this enough. The whole idea of knowing God means that you are going to keep yourself in relationship with Him. Pray, come before Him, put Him before your decisions. Determine to live your life deliberately as a child of the Father. He is God, He is real, He is present, and He can be present in your life. If you invite him in to control your life, he will do that very thing. He will give you all of it, all direction. But it starts once again with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But prior to knowing the Lord, I was dumb. Not saying that I'm that much smarter, but knowing the Lord has made all the difference, I know, from my own experience in bringing life together. I'm sure I would not be here even now if I did not know the Lord, that my life would have gone in a majorly different direction. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Is there no better better description of a life of peace, a life of love, of care, of being good with where you are, than this right here? And it is a result of wisdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my encouragement to you is to know God first and foremost. If you haven't made that decision to know God, if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and bridge the gap between you and God, then you haven't made that first step. And you need to start there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you known the Lord for a long time? As I said, you know, I've known the Lord for a long time. Jesse, you're right. It's probably about 40 years. And that you still need to continue daily, determined to make your decisions based on what God has, God's wisdom. Continue to pray. Continue to meditate. Continue to seek him out. Continue to see him in the Word. Continue in the Word of God so that you may know what truly wise things to do in your life. This is what the book of wisdom is all about. This is what the book of Proverbs is all about, imparting godly wisdom to you. And we need to commit ourselves to doing that very thing, a life of peace and peace that we can have when we know God's wisdom. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that we can address you as Father. We thank you for the fact that as Father, you care for us, you love us, you have a paternal concern for us, and you would impart your wisdom to us. Heavenly Father, we know you as a real and true God, and we want you to be in our lives. We invite you to be in our lives daily. We invite you to bring the peace that comes from knowing you. We invite you to into our lives for the peace that comes from knowing your wisdom. Heavenly Father, we ask that you impart your wisdom to us. We are so thankful that you've introduced yourself to us. We are so thankful that you've given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. We are so thankful, Lord, that you would have us be to surrender ourselves to you as Lord. And we would ask, Father, for the wisdom to maintain our lives once again throughout our lives. As we go from here, Lord, may you challenge us to your wisdom. May you challenge us to what you want us to do in the next decision that we need to make. We surrender ourselves to you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.